Welcome, everyone. This is part five on our series on the parables of Jesus. And let me just hide that thing there. And today we're going to look at a passage that talks about the purpose of the parables. And it's found in Matthew 13. And it's sandwiched right between the parable of the sower and the explanation of the parable of the sower. So I have it on my screen here. So let's just read it together, okay? And it says, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says," and this is from Isaiah 6, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Okay? So at first glance, not the most positive, uplifting parable passage. But I believe that because we've been going over the parables of Jesus, I felt that it would be good to look at a passage that talks about the purpose for these parables. Okay, there. So each week, someone's been teaching on the parables, and we're learning something, right? And but this is another angle on it, and it's that why is it that Jesus teaches in parables? Okay. I'm just going to read this one more time because just so, and this is the way I go about reading the scripture is I'll read it once and, you know, most things don't make sense. So then I'll read it again. So let's just read it one more time before we get into it. Okay. So the disciples came and said to him, so they're coming to Jesus and they ask him, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Right? Why do you not just teach them in plain truth? Why do you teach them in stories?" And he says, he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So he talks about those who get it and those who don't get it. "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." I remember when I was a brand new Christian, this verse scared the heck out of me because I said, if I am the one who doesn't have, even what I have will be taken away. So I was very, very serious about making sure I understood what this meant. And I wanted to be the one who has, I wanted to be in that group. Okay. And it says, and so Jesus answers them, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Okay. And I believe that what Jesus, the reason he speaks to them is because he wants people to see and hear and understand. Okay. But he's seeing that these people do not see, they do not hear, they do not understand. And he quotes what is in Isaiah 6. "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart,'" notice where he begins to talk about the heart, "'it has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn and I would heal them.'" And as I mentioned, this explanation, this interaction, it happens between the parable of the sower and the explanation of the parable, and it comes before the kingdom parables, such as the mustard seed, which we discussed last week, the hidden treasure, which we discussed 2 weeks ago, and the leaven, which is coming up. Okay. And the disciples ask Jesus this question: why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus gives this answer. And I'm going to stop sharing so I can, you guys can see me and I can see you guys. Jesus, he seems to know that there's a certain spiritual condition that we are in. And it is marked by seeing but not really seeing, hearing but not really hearing, and hearing but not really understanding. And let's just think a little bit about what it means to hear something, right? And it, when we hear something, there's the physical hearing, right? Something comes into our ear and there's a physical hearing. And then our mind processes it. And then whatever has been heard has to get registered in our heart or in our mind, right? So there's different stages. And so I don't know what it's like at your guys' home, but for me during this stay at home, I'm at home with my family. There's four of us. And if I happen to do work in the common area, just so I can see people so I'm not isolated, then what happens is that in the common area, there's different conversations that happen, right? And, but I'm working and there's different conversations going on. So I'll catch a part of it and then I'll tune out and then I'll tune back in, right? And so there'll be times that they'll be talking about something and then I'll catch it and then but I'll tune them out. But then they keep talking, right? And then I'll come back like a minute later and then I'll say something and it's really ridiculous to them because they're like, yeah, we just said that like 30 seconds ago. We just told you we bought extra milk and put it in the refrigerator and now you're asking us again, right? So there's a way that we can be in a common area with people and be hearing, but not really hearing. Does that make sense? Right? There's a way that we listen, but we're not that attentive. And what Jesus is addressing, he's addressing something bigger than that, obviously. He's addressing a spiritual condition in us that affects our relationship with him. And you can imagine we're in the common area with him, but we're tuning things out here and there, because we're only partially listening, and we're tuning some things out. And obviously in our defense, guys, like we're dealing with an invisible God. So it's hard to keep our attention on him, right? And he doesn't speak to us in an audible voice. And so it would have been a lot easier, it would seem easier if he were with us physically. But actually these people were with Jesus physically and he was saying, it's not about whether you're with me physically or not, actually. It's a spiritual condition that you have. So even if we were with Jesus physically, we would have this same spiritual condition. And this condition that we have, the spiritual condition that we have is that we can hear Jesus, we can be around him, but we can hear in a way that we don't really understand. It doesn't go deep in us. And he says that I speak to them in parables because he wants to cure us of this spiritual condition. Okay. The parables are a gateway to the cure for this spiritual condition that we have. Okay. So in that sense, it's an amazing grace. He wants us to interact with his teaching. He wants us to interact with the parables. He wants us to interact with his presence, and so that we get cured of this spiritual condition. And he says that so that we would understand, and he says, turn and be healed. Okay? This understanding is meant to make us change the way we live our life, and not just change our way of life, but receive healing from God. Okay, where we might have pain in our lives, where we might have be diseased or sick, not just in a physical sense, but in an emotional, spiritual sense. And so, remember last week we talked about the mustard seed and how the mustard seed grows. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it grows, right? And so we understand that, wait, the kingdom of God is supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow, right? And what this parable gets at is, how do we participate? What is our part, okay, in participating with God's process so that the seed can grow? Okay? How do I participate? What do I have to do? What is my part so that the seed can grow in me, so that I can see growth, okay? And so we're going to ask the question to open up the parable, what does it mean to understand with the heart? Because that seems to be the key. What does it mean to understand with the heart? Okay, so let me just share my screen again. Oops, wrong thing. Here we go. And we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at dullness of the heart and depth of the heart. And dullness of the heart comes from verse 13, right? Where it says, actually, it is not in verse 13, sorry. It is in verse 15. For this people's heart has grown dull. Okay. So let's start with the dullness of heart. Dullness of heart, according to Jesus, is something that prevents us understanding with the heart. Okay. And it literally means, the word dullness, it means that there's a layer of fat around the heart that makes it become unresponsive. It's become calloused, okay? Instead of being this soft thing, there's this thick layer around the heart so that the heart is very unresponsive. And in Isaiah 6, that passage that we just read, it talks about how the ears get clogged up so they can barely hear. The eyes become closed, right? These are all just analogies, metaphors for the same thing. And do you guys remember in Exodus 3, the account of the burning bush? Okay. So Moses is out in the desert, right, with his sheep, and there's a burning bush. There's a bush that is burning in the desert, but it's not being consumed. Yeah, this is in Exodus 3. And what happens is that Moses notices the burning bush, and he says, what's going on over here? And he says, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Okay, do you guys remember that? I think most people do if you've read Exodus. So what's happening is that God was trying to get Moses' attention, right? God was trying to get Moses' attention. So there was this burning bush, but it was not actually burning. It just kept, the fire was there, but the bush didn't die. So God was trying to get Moses' attention and get him to respond. Now, if Moses had the dullness of heart, okay, Moses would have been like, meh. Okay? He wouldn't, he would have seen the same thing, but that layer of fat, that layer of apathy would have prevented him from saying, let me stop what I'm doing and let me take a look. Okay? And that's what dullness of heart does. It results in us not responding to certain things. Okay? And I'm going to bring up a word. And that word is apathy. Okay? And I'm going to say that it's a synonym to dullness of heart. Okay? And apathy, what it means is that it means that on your part, there's a lack of interest or concern where there should be interest or concern. That's what apathy is. Okay? And so spiritual apathy would be where we, there's a lack of concern or interest in things that God wants us to be interested or concerned about. Okay? And this is actually a serious spiritual condition we can easily find ourselves in. We might think apathy, I don't have apathy, right? That's a word we use for teenagers, right? We think teenagers are apathetic. And we think as adults, no, we're not apathetic, but there's ways that we can allow apathy to grow, okay? And the way that it can grow is because, honestly, there's so many things we're to be concerned about. So there's times when we have to not be concerned with certain things, right? And we can justify that we're growing apathetic in a certain area because we actually have to be so concerned with certain areas. So for example, you could easily imagine people having a lack of interest or concern for their marriage because they go through a very busy period at work, right? We all know this story, right? Where couples drift apart little by little, right? They drift apart little by little because their concern is somewhere else and not on. And so because of that, there's a slowly growing lack of concern for the marriage relationship, right? You could imagine how apathy could grow towards the family because of that, or if you're a busy parent, toward the kids. There could be a growing lack of interest or concern for devotions when we are under tremendous stress or when we are very busy. We could find ourselves with a lack of concern for our health, right? Because we're like, I'm too busy, man. I got other things to worry about besides my health. Yeah. It could be our weight. And so you see in our culture, you see all the different signs of the apathy, right? And we can grow apathetic about certain character issues that God may be wanting to bring up, okay? And these are really, really easy to just gloss right over. And so for me, during this time, during this stay-at-home time at home, there were some areas that I had grown dull to, okay, that I was not really concerned about. But during this time, because I'm at home with my family, God's been bringing up. So for example, I can't go into it all, but ways that I relate to my kids, the ways that I use authority, right? The ways that I relate to my wife, right? And how I listen and how I go about making decisions. These are things that my heart had grown dull, and it was okay. And somehow during the normal, when it was normal, quote unquote normal, I could not really pay attention to it, and it was okay. But now, because this is, I'm with them all the time, it's coming up. And I think it's a grace of God that he is helping me to recognize it, yeah? And so I wonder what it might be for you. right? During this time, what are things that are being brought up in your life right now? Okay. So some of you might be like, I have nothing to do and it's killing me. Yeah. There's something, there's certain things in your heart that's being brought up because of this. Some of us might be super busy, right? The frontline healthcare workers, for example. And all of these circumstances bring up something and they make us less dull. And these are things that we may want to pay attention to. I want to give you an antonym to the dullness of heart, okay? Or to the apathy, and that is hunger, okay? Hunger is, when you have hunger, you can't be apathetic, and when you're apathetic, you cannot have hunger. So these are two, these are antonyms, okay? And I share this because one of the questions that I'm going to ask, and during, and we can discuss this in our small groups, is the question is, what area of my life have I unknowingly become apathetic? Yeah. But there's a way to combat that, and that is to allow ourselves to become hungry, hungry to grow, hungry to learn, hungry to change. Okay. And so I remember I became a Christian my, like, the first week of my freshman year in college. Okay. And I was there in college for 8 semesters. Okay. And during those 8 semesters, there's 15 weeks. Okay. And during those 15 weeks, there was a Bible study every week, okay? And every week there was a, like, a large group meeting where there was like a sermon, okay? So there's 2 meetings per week, okay? That's what I'm getting at, okay? And if there's 15 weeks, there's 30 meetings total, right? And if there's 8 semesters, there's 30 times 8 is 240. 240 meetings, something like that, okay? When I got to the end of my senior year, I looked back and I realized I had not missed a single meeting, okay? And I don't say that to boast. I just say that because I was so hungry, okay? I was so hungry that I would not miss a single meeting. I would not miss a single Bible study. I would not miss a single, whatever, large group meeting, okay? And I'm not saying this to you guys so that you don't miss a single gathering meeting. That's not how I'm saying that. What I'm saying is that there was, by the grace of God, right, when we're born again, he gives us a hunger, yeah? When we're born again, he gives us new spiritual faculties to be able to see and to be able to hear. And what we want to do is we want to cultivate that. Okay? We either cultivate hunger or we slowly allow apathy to grow. Okay. And so I'm going to share my screen again. Hopefully it'll open up the right screen this time. Here we go. The discussion question around this is, in what area of my life have I allowed myself to become apathetic? Apathetic means a lack of interest or a concern where there should be interest or concern, okay? The dullness of heart keeps us from understanding with the heart, okay? Now I wanna go to the second point, and that is the depth of heart, okay? And I chose this proverb because it has this word understanding, okay? And the proverb reads, A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Proverbs 17:10. Okay. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. So imagine just picture in your mind like a hammer and a nail, right? So if you hit a nail 100 times, you would expect it to go deep, right? Whereas if you only hit it once, it wouldn't go very deep. What this verse is saying is that a rebuke goes way deeper into a man of understanding than 100 of these into a fool. So there's something about a man of understanding that allows something to go deeper into his heart. You guys remember in the parable of the sower, there's the rocky soil, right? And it's one of the four soil types. And it says, when the seed fell on the rocky soil, it sprang up right away, right? But then it died. It got scorched by the sun because it had no depth. The soil had no depth. There was no depth of soil, okay? So there's something about the depth of soil that is needed for the seed to go, for the seed to find a home and to grow, okay? Now, the interesting thing about this proverb is that most people, right, no matter how mature you are, no matter how godly you are, no person really likes a rebuke. Yeah. Everyone likes a compliment. Everyone likes, you know, when people say nice things, but no one really likes a rebuke. We often reject correction and we don't let it into our hearts, right? We don't let it go deep into our hearts. But there's something about a man of understanding. He's like, oh, there's something in this rebuke that I want. And I'm going to let it go deep into my heart. Okay. And as I was just thinking about it, I realized that we have, if you imagine our heart as like a circle, there are these gates around our heart. Okay. And really, we control the gates of our heart. We can open this gate or we can close this gate, okay? And a man of understanding, he opened the gate so that the rebuke could come in and go deeper, okay? A fool, it says, he kept that gate closed. Now, it would be a lot easier if the seed, regardless of what we did or did not do, just went into our heart and went deep, and then it grew 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, right? I wish it was just automatic like that, but actually, that's not how God works. God always seems to allow us to either participate with him or not participate with him, right? There's a willing participation with what God wants to do. And that willing participation on our part is whether we open the gate or we close the gate, okay? Now let's think about a rebuke, okay? For correction to come in, a rebuke or correction to come into our heart, the gate that we need to open is the gate of pride, okay? And pride is a big thing. Because pride means that someone who has pride means that that person has to always be above the other person, right? So like if I have pride, then let's say I'm dealing with Scott, there's no way I'm letting Scott have the upper hand against me, right? I always have to be above him. Now, if he tries to correct me, that's going to really bother me if I have pride, right? Because that means I'm letting him have say into my life. I'm letting him criticize me or give me feedback. And so in order for me to hear Scott's correction, I have to open the gate of pride. I have to let that go. Yeah. And I have to come down from my pedestal at least to his level, if not below his level, and say, okay, Scott, I'm going to listen to you. Yeah. So for us to hear correction from people, there has to be an opening of the gate of pride. Let's do another example. Let's talk about forgiveness. Okay. Let's say we really want to know what forgiveness is about. We want to understand with our heart what forgiveness is about. You can read all the books out there on forgiveness. Okay. You can just buy them on Amazon, order them, get them delivered, read every single one. That's not going to make you understand forgiveness. You might know it in your head, but you're not going to understand it with your heart. Okay. To really know forgiveness, what do you have to do? You have to open that gate, right? Perhaps you have to open the gate of pain. Yeah, a lot of us, we don't want anything to do with pain, right? But if there was something that really hurt you, then you have to open that up. You may have to force yourself to remember what happened. You may have to acknowledge that it hurt you, right? So you have to open up that gate of pain. You have to open up the gate of surrender, right? Because forgiveness means you're letting go of your right to remain angry with that person, to want to punish that person, right? So there's that gate. Another thing that's involved is you'll probably have to open up the gate of your pride again, right? Because that person has hurt you, you could hold that against them and think of yourself as better than them, right? When you forgive, you're like, you know what? We're all sinners, right? And we need the grace of God, and I'm going to forgive that person. You have to let that go. Okay. And as I was just thinking about this and praying about this, I realized that, you know, the Christian life is a life of love. Yeah. It's choosing to love God. It's a choice to love people. And you can't do that without opening up your heart. Otherwise, all you have is a very superficial Christianity in which you have not opened up your heart. But in order to experience the fullness of what God has, we have to open up these gates of our heart. Okay, and it may mean pain. It may mean some suffering. It may mean this and that. Okay. But here's the word of encouragement. It says that when we do that, it says when we understand with our heart, it says that we can turn and be healed. Okay? And so a man of understanding understands that on the other side of this, okay, opening up the gate of pride and surrender, it might not be pleasant, but on the other side of it, Jesus says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to give you peace. You're going to have joy, yeah? Where you are injured, where you are sick, where you are diseased, healing comes upon that, okay? And so the question I have for us to discuss in our small group is, what gate in my heart do I need to open up, okay? What is a gate in my heart I need to open up so that I can understand more with my heart? All right. And I think that's all I have for us tonight.